From the American Tobacco Historic District, this is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina lost a beloved character earlier this week. Billy Arthur died Monday at the age of 95. He was a diminutive man who earned a colossal reputation as a writer, a prankster, and a colorful storyteller.
Edmund Harding, who was the famous after-dinner speaker down at from Washington, North Carolina, tells of a time that he went into the den at night to look at television, and soon after his wife, Miss Katie, followed him in with her sewing basket and started sewing buttons on his shirts and darning his socks to keep him looking presentable as he went about the country on his after-dinner speaking engagements. And he said he was so proud of her, and he loved her so much, he wanted to tell her about it, but he knew that she had her hearing aid turned down to conserve the battery. So he said, he shouted at her, "I'm proud of you." And said she looked up and she said, "I'm tired of you too."
Billy Arthur was less than 4 feet tall, but he made a powerful impact on his hometown. Among other things, he was the head cheerleader at the University of North Carolina, a newspaper reporter, a member of the North Carolina House of Representatives, and the owner of a hobby shop in Chapel Hill. And two people who knew him well join me on the phone right now. Amy Wood is marketing director of Our State magazine, which Billy had been contributing to since 1933. Amy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Also joining me by phone is Roland Giddes, a former Chapel Hill newsman and a good friend of Billy Arthur. Roland, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure.
Well, we welcome your phone calls as well and emails. If you have stories you want to share about Billy Arthur, true or apocryphal, you can give us a call at 877-962-9862. SOT at WUNC.org is the email address. Roland, you knew Billy from his years in the newspaper business. Why did he buy what was then called the Onslow County News and Views?
Billy said he wanted more time for fishing, and so he thought that having a weekly newspaper was the ideal way to do it. Boy, what a surprise he had there, too. That was back in 1940.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does that say about our profession if it offers you more time to go fishing?
Wait a minute now. You may call yourself a journalist. Billy would say he was not a journalist. A journalist is someone who borrows $5 from a reporter wretch, a newspaper wretch, and doesn't pay him back. Billy would just say he was a newspaperman.
And he did remarkable stories. Tell us about the kind of stories he did.
Well, the stories that Billy Arthur did were, so many of them came out of other publications. He would say, he told me once, he said, I'm not a humorist, I'm a collector of humor. And that was literally true because he collected stories from all over North Carolina, not just this area, but primarily from this area. And he'd clip them out, put them in a folder. And when he had a fair number of them, he'd write a column about ne'er-do-wells or drunks, things like that, when he had a fair collection of them. But as a great collector and one who truly appreciated it.
Amy Wood, you worked with Billy at Our State magazine. How did he contribute to Our State?
Well, Billy's contribution to Our State is just too vast to describe here, but he had written for the magazine since the beginning, 1933. And 10 years ago, when I met him, we were putting together a tribute luncheon to him even then, and I could never get him at home because he was always out studying. He was at an anthropology class at the university, or this, that, and the other, so he just kept up that curiosity, you know, forever.
And he went to great lengths to find these stories. You know, mm-hmm. Roland is saying, well, all I do is, or he would say, all I'm doing is collecting them, but he went to great lengths to find these stories. Tell us about that.
He did. He, when he first got his first newspaper job, I believe it was in New Bern, a hurricane came through, and he invited all the residents of the area to bring in all the newspaper insulation that had gotten inside the walls, or had gotten outside the walls, into the newspaper office, and he would cull through those and find interesting characters and then go do subsequent story research and write history stories of people way long ago.
Yeah, so he was actually collecting insulation from old buildings, and they were newspapers, and that's how he got his stories. But yeah. Roland, there was more than just collecting these things. Did he do his own research once he found the germ of a story?
It probably led to one of his other occupations, which was to run a clipping service, which he did in Chapel Hill. He started Billy Arthur's newspaper clipping service. He'd clip out the interesting stories, send them to the person that was being written about, or I'm sure that he clipped a lot of them himself and put them in his folders there for later use in a column that he wrote every week for more than 60 years. Mm-hmm. And that is a great legacy that he's left.
And he was
North Carolina.
He was what we call today a little person, and this was something that not only didn't get in his way, but he often used to his advantage.
Said, he is not, I am not handicapped.
Yeah.
Not at all. He didn't consider himself handicapped. He took advantage of that fact. And also, another thing that you didn't mention earlier, I believe, in his various occupations was the fact that he was on vaudeville in the 1920s and made the circuit singing Carolina Moon. He recalled that he'd sing Carolina Moon on vaudeville stages from Montreal to Texas three times a day before he decided to return to North Carolina and to become a student at the university here in Chapel Hill.
So he had the vaudeville act before he went to school, before he went to college.
Did indeed, and what a great voice he had, not just singing but speaking, and that's what put him in the legislature and made him a reading clerk over there.
Well, and was he a storyteller? I'm wondering about his vaudeville career, if it was only singing or was he a comedian, all part of one big act?
I expected that. It was all of the above there, but primarily as a singer, because he'd taken singing lessons as a child in Charlotte, and just had a good singing voice.
You're a bit of a prankster, too.
How's that now?
He is a bit of a prankster, too.
Oh, they tell about the time when he was in Chapel Hill as a student, when they dropped him in a large waste can, and he'd boom out to people who were passing by on the sidewalk downtown. Where was that voice coming from? They didn't know it. He tried even on a policeman one time who didn't know where the voice was coming from.
Amy, he certainly had a love for the state of North Carolina, and all of his stories and features seem to reflect that affection.
They did indeed. He loved North Carolina, and he loved the people the state produced, even perhaps more than just the state, of course, the people, the characters that he found to write about. What so defined his writing, I think.
And in a lot of ways, he's compared to Charles Carralta, another famous son of North Carolina.
Exactly, because Billy could find the characters, like Roland said, the ne'er-do-wells, the drunks, but also the people with the heart of gold, the people who came here and really turned things around. Just crazy people that made pipes for a living or found gold and got rich and moved to Africa, or one lady, Martha Bell, who was really a brave woman in the Revolutionary War and actually, confronted Cornwallis and got him to ride off and not burn down her house. These are the people that Billy found and adored and wrote about.
Talking about Billy Arthur, who passed away this week, a journalist, an all-around storyteller and one of the most well-known characters in the state of North Carolina, died at the age of 95. We're taking your phone calls if you have stories to tell about Billy. 877-962-9862 if you want to join the program. And it does seem, Roland, that everybody has a story to tell about Billy. We send our producers out today, and they all had stories, although not all of them could be used on the air, it turns out.
Well, Billy Arthur understood North Carolina. He understood Chapel Hill, loved it, and he loved to talk about what a unique place it was. He recalled how the person in the legislature once said, "Why doesn't Chapel Hill form its own state?" His laugh after he'd say something was so contagious.
Would he have a strong kind of political views that he would ever try to promote in his writing? It didn't seem to come through in many of the stories I've read.
I think he was neutral. He saw humor in the Democrats and the Republicans. And he was more concerned with the humor of it than he was with the ideology.
Amy, are you surprised? You worked with him for a while, but obviously he started at, as you say, in 1933.
Right.
As you look back to do the retrospective, what were some of the most surprising stories that you found?
The one I just mentioned about Martha Bell back at the Revolutionary War period, Billy just managed to uncover tidbit after tidbit about this woman, with her confrontation with Cornwallis and how she learned to, carry a gun, and she just, kept confronting the various people that were trying to take over her house while her husband was away. So that kind of story, that kind of bravery, I think many of his stories contain people with bravery, and I think it reflects sort of the bravery and courage he had for the world.
It's an interesting thing. Anybody who is in this business, whether you're in radio or in print or television, we're all looking for a way to find those interesting kernels. And I'm wondering now, if you think about Billy and you look at his career, does it take a certain kind of person to not overlook what seems to maybe at first glance to be not an extraordinary story?
Oh, I think it does. I think it takes someone with a highly either innate or developed curiosity and someone who has extraordinary compassion for the different. And Billy, he obviously had that. So he was able to find the people and bring out their quirks and whatever that would make for that interesting tale.
Roland Giddes, did he like to tell just funny stories when he wasn't writing?
Oh, absolutely. But, of course, his research, his preservation of history, and the funny part of history is so extraordinary. So often he would quote from his research of the largest newspaper in the country of its time, a circulation of 142,000, which was in Moravian Falls, a hamlet in North Carolina, the Yellow Jacket, the Fool Killer, and he loved to quote stories from that about, for instance, the argument about the man from Texas who thought Texas was so great, and the Moravian Falls editor responded to that and said, hey, listen, we have such a big time here. We celebrate Independence Day, the 4th of July, every week. And then he went on with other quotes from the Fool Killer or the Yellow Jacket. Typical of the things that Billy Arthur found out and preserved.
We're talking about Billy Arthur today on The State of Things with Amy Wood from Our State Magazine. Roland Giddes, a friend of Billy Arthur's, taking your phone calls at 877-962-9862. Just had more stories and your stories about Billy Arthur. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us. This is the State of Things broadcast from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. We're talking today about an admired Chapel Hill local, Billy Arthur, who passed away on Monday at the age of 95, but left behind a legacy that even those who didn't know him can appreciate. Amy Wood worked with Billy at Our State Magazine, is on the phone. Longtime friend Roland Giddes is speaking with us from his home in Chapel Hill. Roland Giddes, why do you think he came up with the motto for his original paper, the only paper in the world that gives a whoop about Onslow County? That was the motto for that paper, wasn't it? Roland? Amy?
Yeah, I think I have a little bit of an insight into why he did that. He wanted to call it something else, and he came up, he wanted to call it something else. It had a slogan, but a friend of his said it had a word in it the Baptists didn't like. I'm reading from an old newspaper article. And then Arthur laughed and quickly changed that one word of the slogan, which was, of course, a hoot or a whoop about Onslow County. So that's how he came up with that one. Now, wasn't the original slogan.
Yeah, but that wasn't all the news that's fit to print. That might not have been that would have been a problem as well, even for the motto. What do you suppose is his legacy?
Oh, my goodness. His legacy. His legacy is the joy and, that he brought to everyone's lives that will continue to live on. His legacy is his writings. His legacy is his family. Of course, he would say that first off. I should have said that myself. And just the adoration and grand way in which he lived is truly an inspiration.
Well, Amy Wood, I want to thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Amy Wood is marketing director at Our State Magazine, and we also want to thank Roland Giddes, his friend and retired newspaper man who spoke with us earlier today. Billy Arthur himself was a great storyteller, so our last story we think should come from Billy himself.
Edmund Harding also told about during World War II, during coffee rationing, that his favorite grocer down there always kept some bird seed under the counter extra coffee under the counter that he could reach down right quick and hand to a person who didn't have ration points at that time. But he told his customers, said, now don't ask for coffee, that'd get us in trouble. Ask for bird seed. Well, the Harding got along all right till Bishop Thomas C. Darst was coming down to visit the parish and was going to stay with the Hardings, and Edmund told Miss Katie to go up and get some extra coffee. And when she went up there, the grocer was out of town. And so she said, well, I wanted to see him the worst way. And the clerk said, well, Miss Katie, he told me that you might come up here wanting some bird seed. And she says, I certainly did. That's exactly what I want. He says, I can help you. So he gets down under the counter and comes back up right quick. He said, Miss Katie, do your birds perk or drip?
Billy Arthur died this week at the age of 95. Coming up, a Davidson College senior is about to embark on a very creative fellowship, and an eighth grader takes me on, an eighth grader from North Carolina takes me on in a vocabulary quiz and wins. Stay with us.